Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast not provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. Friend, the word fool has two meanings, according to our dictionary. It means a person devoid of reason and intelligence, but it also means one who acts in a foolish or unwise manner. Obviously, the last fool is not lacking in intelligence, but he is unwise, and such is the man of this parable. Now, we must be careful how we use the word fool. Christ warned in the Sermon on the Mount, And whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire, Matthew 5, verse 22. This is to speak of someone with hatred and contempt, even with the desire that their soul be damned. Obviously, the Lord is not using the term in this fashion in the parable, but he has reference to what he presented as a foolish and unwise action that manifested a distressingly mistaken attitude. The Bible describes a fool in many passages. One of the more familiar is in Psalm 14 and verse 1, The fool hath said in his heart, There is no God. The book of Proverbs gives many references to fools as those who despise instruction and despise wisdom. Proverbs 10 and verse 8 speaks of a prating fool, while Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 3 reads, A fool's voice is known by multitude of words. Proverbs 12:15, The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But Proverbs 14:16 says, The fool rageth and is confident. Other proverbs mention fools meddling and how fools utter all their mind. There was a great array of teaching in the poetic books of the Old Testament regarding fools and foolishness and foolish manners. And why is the man of the parable called a fool? Let us not falsely accuse him. We should consider some of the reasons why he was not called a fool. It was not because he had possessions. Men of God have sometimes been men with wealth, such as Abraham and Job and David and Solomon, and even Joseph of Arimathea. There is no inherent virtue in poverty any more than there is inherent evil in riches. There is no shame or virtue in either per se. The love of money is certainly sinful, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. The parable of the talents teaches people that they should use their talents and abilities to the best advantage. If one has a talent for making money, why should he not do it? Assuming, of course, that he acts honestly and uses what he earns in a righteous way. There is nothing to indicate that the man prospered due to dishonesty. The scripture says the ground brought forth plentifully. He had a good year in his work as a farmer. Doubtless, as is usually the case, other farmers had also prospered along with him, although part of his prosperity might be attributed to good management and a diligent effort on his part. And while there are those who gain wealth in a dishonest way, it would be unfair to think that everyone who is rich because he's dishonest. And certainly that's not the case with the man of our study. Now, there are dishonest poor people, too, don't forget. And he was not a fool because he was conservative of what he gained. There is no virtue in wastefulness and extravagance. His barns were inadequate. He wisely acted to erect some larger ones. It would have been foolish for him to allow the elements to destroy his harvest because he would not house them properly. The story of the prodigal son condemns wastefulness. Joseph made preparation for the lean years in Egypt by storing grain in bins during the years of plenty. Why, this showed wisdom, not foolishness. Even Christ caused the food left over from feeding the multitudes to be gathered. In John 6 and verse 12, gather up the broken pieces which remain over, that nothing be lost. Well, I think instead of calling him a fool, we could compliment the man for preserving his bountiful harvest. And friend, this man was not foolish because he had made provision for the future. Some have a mistaken idea that it's wrong to prepare for the future as if this is to doubt the providence of God. Oh, they say God will take care of you. Well, that's right. But what they misunderstand is that God has already taken care of many of us, but we have squandered what he has provided and failed to prepare for the future with what he has given us. Somehow we expect him to provide for us again, even after we have wasted so much of his provision. We should not live it up, as people say, live up everything when we could lay some aside for the future. In our labor from day to day, we earn the necessary provisions for each day so we can give to those who have need, but also that they might care for ourselves when that time comes when we can no longer labor and make provision. Some years ago, some people even thought having life insurance was sinful. Friend, that is foolish. We shall either live or die with the passing of time. And with one of these eventualities before us, we act wisely to make ready for the inescapable. This is not doubting God's providence. It's using God's providence. And this man, however, was a fool because he was egotistical. 13 times in the account he referred to himself, what he had done, what he would do. He failed to realize that it was not merely by his own hand that he had prospered, but every good gift had come from God, James 1 and verse 17. He just had a high opinion of himself, far more than was warranted, and he failed to give credit where credit was due. Actually, none of us do much of anything except we stand on the shoulders of those who've gone before us, and we make our accomplishments possible because of them. How self-centered we are to praise ourselves and not realize God and others have contributed to whatever success we enjoy. The religion of Christ is a religion that requires the denial of self. Luke 9 in verse 23, and he said unto all, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, to deny self means that we no longer follow our own will and our own way, but that of Christ. No longer do we heap praise on self, but we give glory to God. Paul's instruction to the Philippians was, doing nothing through faction or through vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, each counting other better than himself. Philippians 2 and verse 3. This man thought too highly of himself, contrary to the teaching of Paul, when Paul said, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Romans 12 and verse 2. You see, this man considered these possessions as his. He spoke of my fruits and my barns and my goods. Do we not yet know that we came into the world with nothing and that we will surely leave the same way? 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7. Nothing here is really our own except the use of things for a while. We are stewards of that which has been placed in our care. What we have is on loan, and we shall be held accountable for its use. We should consider what wealth of any measure that we control to be tools in our hands to do the will of the Lord. If we so consider material things, there might be many things we now buy that we would never buy, and direct more of our goods directly to the cause of Christ. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, here, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now this man of the parable forgot, or possibly he had never learned, the true relationship between a man and his money. Psalm 24 and verse 1, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. And again, this man confused his physical need with his spiritual need. You notice he said, soul, take thine ease. He made the same mistake many today seem inclined to make, and that is to assume that things being well with us personally and materially mean things are well with us spiritually. That is not necessarily so. This man expected his soul's welfare to be proportionate to his material welfare. He placed his confidence in his wealth. This is the very sin Paul warns Christians to avoid. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Food for the soul is not the same as food for the body. The emphasis of many is the physical side of life to the crowding out of concern for the things of the spirit. This man's attitude, take thine ease, indicates that he was just going to quit doing, but bask lazily in the abundance of what he had already accumulated. He was going to use it for his own desires and his own whims without regard for anything else or even the need to keep producing as he had opportunity. We should not confuse rest from our labors after life is over with rest from labor while it is still day and the night is not yet come. This man was ready to quit. Can a Christian ever quit in his labor for the Lord? Is there a retirement age for the child of God? If so, when is it? Where do you read about it? This man had the attitude that he had what he wanted. He had all he wanted. And the devil could just take the rest just so long he'd leave him alone. Christ once told the rich young ruler, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, Mark chapter 10 and verse 21. But the man went away sorrowful because he had much riches and evidently placed too much trust in them to separate himself from them, even to be a disciple of Christ. He had to decide between Christ having first place or his wealth having first place, and he made a foolish choice. The man of this parable of our study, he also had a misplaced trust. He misunderstood what was really important. He misconceived his mission in life. He failed to recognize his own accountability. It is plain to see from this account that laying up treasures upon this earth rather than treasures in heaven proves disastrous. Matthew 6, 19 and 20. We should profit from his mistakes and not fall into the same snare. Think less of self and more of Christ. Recognize who owns everything and the seriousness of our responsibility in using what is given to us in our care. Prepare for the life hereafter and not center ourselves exclusively on the here and now. Remember that eternal life is not ours and will not be ours on the basis of what we have, but what we are. Food for the soul is more important than even food for the body. And Jesus taught just prior to this parable, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Luke 12 and verse 15. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.